comes from the 6th chapter of Luke. And Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them." All right. Good job. Getting close to the end. So, here we are in church today. I want to share with you, I wrote it down on some notes here. In the book of Revelation, there's the four horsemen. You're familiar with that. You hear the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So I've got the four horsemen of grace. The four horsemen of grace. These are the words: unrelenting, unrealistic, unbelievable, and unbalanced. They're all unwords. Unrelenting, unrealistic, unbearable, unbelievable, and unbalanced. So the first, well, unbearable, there's a lot of unwords for grace, but unrelenting. If you have a dog, raise your hand if you have a dog. Or if you've ever interacted with a dog in your life. Okay, so most of you, that's good. So we have two labs. You know, one lab does not interact with, you know, you throw something and they want to go get it. That one lab, our lab Lily, does not want to do anything. She'll never chase anything. Ozzy, on the other hand, our other lab, makes up for the first one. So, like, he is crazy. He loves to chase stuff, and we have these undestructible, another unword, undestructible bones, Kong bone, but, I mean, he chews them through, you know. They're not undestructible. So, you know, you go, you throw it, and the dog gets it and comes back, and you know, but he won't let go. So, you know, you grab it, and he's not going to let go, and he won't 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 let go. Because it's just he's unrelenting. He will not let go. I mean, have you experienced that before? So what I want to suggest is grace. The first word, unrelenting, is that's how God is with us. Is relentless. God is relentless in God's pursuit of us. Like the dog at the bone. Come on, come on. That's what God is saying to us. Come on, come on. And not only that, but God says to us, here, have this bone, have this bone. I want to interact with you. And then when you throw it, God goes, gets it, and then brings it back. Okay, that's good. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. And pretty soon, and the difference is with God and us, is that once God has kind of been working with us for a while, then God tells us, you know, go try throwing that bone to somebody else so that I can interact with them. So that's what grace does. We start with that relentlessness of God coming at us and for us and to us. And then God says, all right, throw the bone to somebody else. Let them interact with me. So unrelenting. Unrealistic. That's the next word, unrealistic. So I'm reading this book, one of the new rock stars of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, is Nadia Boltz-Weber. And her book is called Pastrix with an X, The Cranky Beautiful Faith of a Sinner and Saint. She has a church that she started in Denver, in Colorado. And She is has an interesting past, and then the grace of God was relentless, and she realized, I need to deal with this, and eventually she became a pastor. So she writes this wonderful book about, I recommend this highly, but just know that in every chapter but one so far, she might drop the F word, which isn't forgiveness. She'll throw that in too, but it's the real F word. She says forgiveness too, but so, I mean, just be aware, just so you know. That's just part of who she is. You got, I mean, that's just her reality. And she's, you know, but she writes about this idea of unrealistic. Because that's what the gospel text is about today. Love your enemy. Pray for those who slap you around. I mean, it's not realistic. But God says, it is realistic. Jesus tells us, it is realistic. Because that's the best way. Because the best way is to keep doing what that picture showed. Is even amongst the falling leaves, even amongst the broken down stuff, love. So pray for your enemies. If someone slaps you, offer them your other cheek. And so this is what she writes about a colleague of her. Just ask my friend Don, the Lutheran pastor who had to leave his job after doing Dylan Klebold's funeral. Dylan Klebold, Columbine guy. Remember Columbine? He was one of the Columbine shooters, and Don had the gall to think that the promises given to Dylan by God at his baptism were more powerful than the acts of evil he committed. It helps me to think about Don because I realize that he wasn't saying what Dylan Klebold did was okay. He was defiantly proclaiming that evil is simply not more powerful than good, and that there really is a light that shines in the darkness, and that darkness cannot, will not, shall not overcome it. I often wonder what Don was feeling when he did that funeral. Had he so quickly moved to forgiveness, or more likely, was he just acting in accordance to what he believed? That's the life of faith, at least for me. As the great American writer Flannery O'Connor said, faith is what someone knows to be true, whether they believe it or not. I like that. Whether you believe it or not, your faith is true. So that's that second word, unrealistic. It's unrealistic, but that's what forgiveness is. And forgiveness is a powerful thing. All right, third one, third unword. Unbelievable. God's grace. Unbelievable. I mean, do you really believe that God's grace is for you? Do you really believe that? Really? I like this definition of, I'll use your bulletin, Pastor Beth, if you don't mind. That's why I like the Ephesians reading, because it talks about, that's on page 5 and 6, it talks about in Christ we also have an inheritance. What is an inheritance? It's not something you earn. It's something that's given to you. And so that's what God's grace is. We inherit grace. Just by being born, just from out of the hopper of the womb, grace is for us. Instantly. Grace available. Accessible. Right there. From the moment we take our first breath until the moment when we take our last breath. Grace is in everything. Even our breathing. And I like how he says this. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, blowing up with that love, like on the screen, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the workings of his great power. Through Jesus. Grace. Unbelievable. And yet it's for us. From our first breath to the last. where'd my phone go? Okay. If you're not smart, if you can't find your phone. the final one is unbalanced. Unbalanced. Some may think that relates to me, but that's not where. Here's where the chains come in. And this cross back here with more chains, they're noisy. And I brought grace and freedom, the bolt cutters for Jesus. So, I didn't get super big chain because I just wanted to make sure I was able to snap it. So here's the deal with God's grace, finally, the unbalanced part. Is it November 24th when we do the budget? You know, we have the meeting where we vote on a budget. Yes or no? Is it balanced? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, it will be, and it's great, and it's an awesome budget. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make that such a small thing. But that's not what God's grace is like. It's not a balanced budget. God's grace is abundant on this earth and available to all of us all the time, no exceptions. And if you're burdened with anything to where you think that's not true, that's where these come in. So what I've done, I've chained up this bed. Well, you know, chained it up. Oh, by the way, I came across this little book right here, Baptized We Live. You remember that? If you've been Lutheran Fall, remember Dan Erlander? Remember this book? You probably at some point, if you've been here since 81 when he wrote it, you probably went through it at some point. You know, you probably read it. But I love this picture. See, they're all standing around the font. We're all sitting around the font, central. Everyone has a cross on their head. They've all been baptized, it seems. And on the back, there's even a little picture, and it says grace on it over everybody's head. Except for the infant, it just says goo. But, I mean, kids get it. Kids get it quickly and much more than adults. That's a great book. Check that book online. Maybe we should go through that book again. That's an awesome book because it's Dan is cool. In fact, he's why I became Lutheran. Dan Erlander. PLU, 1987, Constituting Convention for the Synod. And I was Catholic at the time. And Dan said, do you want to come and go to our Constituting Convention? You know, because we're forming this ELCA church. And I said, yeah, that'd be great. You know, I am Catholic, you know. Yeah, oh, yeah, no problem. So, you know, I was a member of the university congregation, even though I was technically Catholic at the time. I didn't know, I mean, Dan knew before I did that I was going to be ELCA Lutheran, but I didn't know that. So I had to, wisdom is good. So here I am now, here standing amongst you, and what I want to do is I want to free this for us. If I can here, let's get that free. There we go. All right. So this, it's abundant. This now is available for all of us. All of us. All the time. All the time. This water reminds us, I'm baptized and I'm free. Because that's what grace does. Grace and freedom, those are the two things that are on this thing that I spent a lot of time putting nicely in print on. Grace and freedom. That's what these bolt cutters do. It's the same thing when we pray. We're going to pray today. God gives us this gift of open communication. Anytime, always, for anyone. Free. Free. Come. So when this happens today, when we have this time of prayer, come and pray. And use it, because God is listening. God always listens. I only have 15 feet of chain, and so I couldn't quite make it to communion, but it's the same thing. Free. Available for everyone. So, unrelenting, unrealistic, unbelievable, and unbalanced. Now comes the it's not a hard sell. It's just a think about this. So we've got this grace that is available. So what I want to do during the time of prayer when we're lighting the candles, during the hymn of the day, I'm going to be back there, and there's those chains set up on the cross. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, if you want, Because you may be burdened with something. You may be burdened with a lot of things, with some kind of pain, with something that's getting in the way. It's just getting in the way, and it's got you bound up. It's just got you, I don't know what to do. I can't hang on to this anymore. Well, God's grace is ready for you right now with all the unwords to free that. So come to the back to me. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to hold the chain. You're going to pull the chain, and you're going to hang on to it, and I'm going to snip it. Thiep, right there. And you're going to get two links. You're going to hang on to one link. So you'll get a link like this. Then you'll have the two cut links. And what you're going to do is you're going to remember your baptism and you're going to give that burden to God, because God's grace has cleansed you from that. That's for God. This is for you to remember that. Grace is abundant, and for you for that burden. And then this one is for a friend or a family member. And my promise to you is that when you come here, anybody who comes here with this, I will cut this in half in the name of Jesus. Because that's what I'm called to do. I'm a person of grace. We're all people of grace. To undo it, whatever that thing needs to be that's undone. So that's for everybody. Now, a specific challenge. A specific challenge. Two. This is only for three people in today, or maybe in the second service. I talked with Kathy Johnson. Kathy Johnson works over at Mountain View. She told me about this program, mentoring program. There are five kids that need one person who loves kids to be with one of those kids. So five people in this room maybe might feel ready, feel called to be with one of these kids. And here's how she described who these kids are. Lonely souls that don't have friends or the skills to figure it out. So they're kids who, they got nothing. And at home, they have little to nothing. And when they come to school, they don't know how to have something. So they have nothing. Kathy said, it's the one time that someone wants to spend time with them. Think about that. The one time a week when someone wants to spend time with them. That's what a mentor does. For 1 hour during lunchtime when you go over there. For 1 hour a week. And Kathy said, there's one student that she saw. It's the only time that this student has ever laughed. Now that's horrible. That's horrible. I try and make my kids laugh at least once a day. I mean, probably when they look at me, it's like, yeah, I can't believe that's my dad. And when I do, you know, what I do. Lonely souls, kids who just want someone to spend time with them so that they can laugh. I'm leaving these right here, or where I'll put them, worship. I'll put them right here on the altar. If you would like to be one of those mentors, please come and take this. I'll talk with you about it. It's 1 hour a week. It's going to take you 2 weeks to, you know, get processed as a volunteer. And boom, 1 hour a week to make a huge difference for unrelenting grace to come from this place over to that place. Now, the final appeal. This is the coolest one, and we'll see. I don't know. You know, every once in a while, you got to ask. If you don't ask, you don't give. In the office, there is this one baptismal candle. Perhaps someone here today needs to feel that grace and know that grace. And they happen to not have been baptized yet, for whatever reason. Now, you don't need to be baptized to experience grace. That happens. That happens just when you look at a tree. So, you know, it's not required to experience grace. But it's a great thing. It's a great thing. So, is there someone here who's just really, man, I should have been baptized a long time ago and I never was, but hey, today's the day. Because, you know, Pastor Eric will unbind anything that needs unbound and I'll be baptized and I get a candle. Anybody? Is anybody, anyone need to be baptized? Unrelenting. Unbelievable. Just checking. I always have to check because you never know. You never know. So that's it. Grace. Unrelenting. Unrealistic. Unbelievable. Unbalanced. Abundant. Thanks be to God. Amen.